I'm Paul Hunton, and this is 24 Frames on 89.1 FM. Today, we are talking to artist in residence at Texas Tech, Ismael de Anda III. Ismael, thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Paul. It's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. And you have quite a bit going on in your time here at Texas Tech. Tell me a little bit about what's happening.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here, and I'm very excited to have been invited by the Texas Tech School of Arts. And also initially inspired by the vision of Francesca Vega, who is a double master's student of Texas Tech University. And I met her in Long Beach, California. So I now live in Los Angeles. I grew up, I'm a fellow Texan. Also, I grew up in El Paso, and now I live in Los Angeles. And so one of the many museums that I had the privilege of working for in Los Angeles and in the Southern California area, I work for the MOLA, the Museum of Latin American Art. And so Francesca, I met her there, and she was doing an internship, and she seemed to be interested in the work that I was doing. I was doing these big installations in Mexico in alternative spaces and galleries. And so I had mentioned, if there's any opportunity to maybe, come to Texas Tech and, share my artwork and maybe be a visiting artist, I would be more than happy to do that. So she actually inquired with that, and actually some time went by, and then she invited me, and so we wrote a proposal, and so I'm honored that I was invited to come. So my vision was to do a interdisciplinary project. So I do installations. Lots of times my installations, so I redesign an entire space versus just, one painting on a wall or, a sculpture. It's an environment that people can be in, be part of, and the people in the exhibition, ultimately can also be considered part of the artwork. And so I was doing these installations in other countries. So the challenge with that, usually I get invited to use these big spaces, which is a great opportunity. But the challenge is, how do you fill up the space? In LA, I could do some large-scale sculptures, but then I'd have to build crates or have them crated. Then I'd have to have them shipped. Then I'd be in the other country, and I'd have to wait, maybe for them to pass through customs, right? So I've kind of been developing these strategies to do these big exhibitions seeing what kind of materials I could take with me, but also I've also been sourcing materials from the local place that is hosting me or where the exhibition is. So it gives me the opportunity to make the work in the place where the exhibition is, make it site specific, and also involve the community.
Great. And specifically, I know of one thing that you're sourcing here is used t-shirts is
exactly.
Something that you source. Tell me a little bit about
exactly,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. So this project, initially I was working with the School of Art. And when I was in art school, I remembered how for me, I was excited to have the opportunity to, call my skills within the atmosphere of the art school, but also to experience, what it'd be like to experience exhibiting outside the university, in the public sphere. So I was really interested to find out that they have the Landmark Arts Satellite Gallery at the Charles Adams Studio Project. So I propose doing a project outside of the school, and then also an installation on campus, but it's not going to be in the School of Art, but it's actually going to be in the Human Sciences building, right? So human science is the study of human behavior. And so again, I was thinking about using material that could involve everyone, the community of the School of Art, the community of the Human Sciences Department, the community at large. And so in addition to the School of Art, Francesca put me in touch with Professor Rachel Anderson. And so she's a professor for apparel design and manufacturing. So she got excited and decided to involve her fashion design students. So I was thinking about t-shirts. It's a material that maybe, first of all, it connects to the industry of cotton here in Lubbock. And also in terms of human sciences being like a record of human behavior, it'd be kind of like an imprint of people. And I was also interested in a process where people could participate in the making of the artwork, whether they consider themselves artists or not. Working in museums, lots of times people may feel that there's a distance between themselves and an artist. Lots of times, tell me, I wish I was an artist. And I feel all people are artists. I think we all have, as human beings, our own specialties in terms of being creative. And so, I started collecting t-shirts. And I was in Los Angeles, and the faculty here started collecting t-shirts for me when I arrived. They were ready. And then we started kind of sewing them together. And one of the themes I use in my artwork is the theme of the mutants. So basically, it's this, an opportunity to mix different materials, different strategies, different genres, different cultures. And and I kind of like the term the mutants. It's a little more rude than the hybrid. So I grew up on the U.S.-Mexico border, and one time I was visiting Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, and you know they have these rows and rows of piñatas, and I heard someone criticizing the piñata and saying that Mexican craftsmanship wasn't very good. So of course I got defensive, and they said, well, look at that Bart Simpson piñata or that Spider-Man piñata. It doesn't look quite right. It's kind of weird. It's kind of messed up. So then this light bulb kind of went off on my head, and I said, you know what? This is its own existing form of art. I think lots of times when something happens in culture, maybe we don't have the language to categorize it. And that's what I like about making art. You're in the moment of creating something, you're involved in the process, and your understanding is through the making of it. And sometimes you don't worry too much about categorizing it in the moment. So I think we're always trying to categorize things to understand things. Yeah. I think we understand things in the moment, but it's just that naming of things that sometimes creates issues. So this kind of mixture of like Mexican craftsmanship with maybe American or United States iconography of Spider-Man, these kind of artworks. I mean, some people, I call them creatures, but like in a positive way, maybe not in a derogatory way. It just kind of fascinated me and just made me think, you know what, there's something in this, there's something special in this mixture or blend. And I don't even know if it's a mixture or blend. It's its own, it exists unto itself.
Yeah.
So I started using that in my artwork also too, thinking about the idea of the mutant. So the canopy for the project, the Human Science Building, actually it's a glider sculpture.
Yes, and it's called Celestial Bodies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was here in May, so I got to do some research on the culture here in Lubbock, not only, you know, the industry of cotton, but also the wind industries and also like the history here. I visited the Silent Wing Museum. I visited the... What is the name of it? It is the Wind and Power Center.
Oh, yeah, what is the name of it? I can't think of the official title of it, but let's look it up so we can have it on there. But yeah, no, it's a huge part of...
So I visited that museum, and so like these windmills and the gliders, I decided to kind of create this kind of flying sculpture,
yeah,
like a wing sculpture, and then the T-shirts become the canopy for this flying sculpture. And so the T-shirts, people would submit them and we would cut them and then re-sew them. So the imagery on there, whether it's like a place they had been to or a concert they had gone to or some kind of souvenir, I like how the T-shirts kind of represent maybe an experience of the person or a memory, but I kind of restitched them. So these memories, these images, they start to kind of merge and kind of blend into one another. And you know, I started doing these flying sculptures also as maybe a metaphor or a symbol of you know, like positive energy or kind of like an affirmative experience. You know, like they're kind of levitating, they're kind of weightless, they're not limited by gravity.
I think as humans, when we see things take flight, when we see things in that space, it's a space that we don't necessarily occupy without assistance and help and all those things. So when we see ourselves represented somehow in that space, it does. It's uplifting, no pun intended, but it also shows us sort of, you know, the heights at which it's that perfect metaphor of like, you know, reaching for the stars, which is very cliche, but it's the idea of seeing yourself in a space that you normally don't occupy.
Right. Well, I mean, growing up in El Paso and growing up in the desert and also the open spaces here of Lubbock also too, I mean, I think you're connected to the big sky, you know. Living in Los Angeles, I do like miss the Texas light, the West Texas light. And you know, I was kind of doing some research on Lubbock, and so I was reading how there were some UFO...
The Lubbock Lights.
Right, yeah.
Smile,
yeah,
the Lubbock
UFO
Lights.
Sightings. And also, I grew up on science fiction culture, so I think my first experiences with abstraction didn't come from paintings and museums, but from, like, exploding planets on science fiction films. But also, I started playing around with the idea of Gene Roddenberry, who was the creator of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And so he was actually born in El Paso. So he didn't grow up there, but I kind of cited him as kind of springboard. Lots of times, like living in Los Angeles, or when I travel, when I tell people I'm from El Paso, if they've never been there or experienced Texas, they might have these stereotypes of what they think Texas culture is like, or what culture on the U.S.-Mexico border is like. or maybe they think of Texas as this kind of rustic Old West place. So I like how this person who was the like the visionary for this futuristic cosmology was from El Paso.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like, you know, that U.S.-Mexico border, I think, is a like a crucial hinge for this whole hemisphere.
Yeah.
And so I started doing these artworks that all also have this kind of element of like science fiction culture. And the thing I like about, you know, things like Star Trek is sometimes people think artists are like fantastical and not rooted in reality. And that's what I like about like science fiction, like Star Trek. It was fantastical. The TV show aired before we actually had the ability to land on the moon. But these fantastical TV programs inspired young people that actually became scientists and actually developed this culture. So, I mean, I did a series of artworks where I used a laser to cut out plastic, right? So, you know, these are materials that you would see on Star Trek. You know, we have our, you know, cell phones are ubiquitous, right? And so, so that's kind of what I like about this idea of Star Trek or also artists. Sometimes they maybe come up with these artworks that seem like fantastical or have like no purpose, but I like, you know, this. And also the thing about like these flying artworks, it's this idea for me that art can be limitless, or the imagination is, you know, has no bounds. So those are some things that I'm kind of incorporating, you know, within this project and these projects.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And you had just to touch back on the event that's happening this Saturday at the Landmarks Art Satellite Gallery at CASP. People, you said you like to make people, all people are artists to you. And so you're incorporating that. There's going to be a silkscreen event. Can you tell us a little bit about what people need to bring or how they should prepare for that?
Yeah, sure, exactly. I mean, I really love the title of the Landmark Arts Satellite Gallery, you know, because it works really well with this theme of like, you know, space exploration and science fiction. And so actually I have some digital prints that I created in Los Angeles. And so they are kind of like satellites or spacecraft, and actually they were inspired by my visit here. And when I was visiting the Windmill Museum outside, there was like pieces of, you know, kind of machinery left over. I think maybe it was like farm machinery also, maybe. And I started taking photos of that. And then I went back to LA and I digitally composited them. And so I created like these spaceships and satellites out of material, leftover material that was here in Lubbock. And so, yeah, if anyone that comes to visit the exhibition on Saturday, they can bring T-shirts, they can bring tote bags, any kind of fabric or item where they want to silkscreen a design that I came up with. Or we also have paper if you just want to take a paper print. And so the idea behind that design, actually, it's an image that relates to the artwork that is going to be in the Human Sciences building. So they kind of relate to one another. There's, you know, these themes, relating themes, and they kind of point to one another. And the name of that exhibition is The Sun Came Out at Night and Sang to Me, or in Spanish, El Sol Salió por la Noche y Me Cantó. And actually I got that from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And there's this this moment where these scientists are traveling all over the world, and they're kind of interviewing these people that have had these UFO sightings. And so they go to Mexico, the Sonoran Desert, and I actually have had the opportunity to exhibit my artwork in Sonora, and some of my family comes from there also, too. And so, yeah, so they're interviewing in the film this old man, and he's, like, sunburned from the light of these UFOs. And I don't know, I just thought it was, like, a very poetic way to describe that kind of experience. So that's the name of the exhibition at the Satellite Gallery. And, you know, come and see me, and, you know, I'd love to talk to you, share my artwork with you. And it's an opportunity for me to meet more of the community of Lubbock, and yeah, bring, you know, T-shirts, and I'll be silkscreening, you know, one of my designs, you know, for the public to come and attend.
Wonderful, Ismael. Thank you so much for being here. So, folks, that's this Saturday, 12 to 4, at the Landmarks Arts Satellite Gallery at CASP, 12 to 4. Bring out some stuff. Come meet Ismael and enjoy it. And then Celestial Bodies will be unveiled next Thursday in the Human Sciences Building Breezeway. And what time is that?
It's going to be Friday.
Friday
the 22nd, and I believe from 3 to 4 I will be giving a lecture on my artwork.
Okay.
And then from 4 to 6 there will be the opening reception.
Oh, great. So I will punch that in again. So Celestial Bodies will be unveiled next Friday in the Human Sciences Building Breezeway. 3 to 4 you can come here, Ismael lecture, and then from 4 to 6 will be the opening reception. Ismael de Anda III, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. And just a couple more things. So it's the American Wind Power Center. I believe. And also, you know, I just want, again, I want to thank Landmark Arts and the Human Sciences Department and the School of Art and everyone involved at Texas Tech that has been so gracious in hosting me and allowing me to make this possible. So
great. For 24 Frames on 89.1, I'm Paul Hunton.
Thank you.